speaks. And I believe that this is a really important subject for us to get a grasp of, an understanding of, to know not only how God speaks to us, but what God is going to say. And those are the two questions that we're going to answer today as we open up God's word. Number one, the question is, how do we know when God is speaking to us? How do we ensure that when God speaks, we're actually listening, we're hearing what he says? And the second question is this: what will God say to us? And I pray that by God's grace, he will help us to grasp something of these truths. And I pray also that it will help us in our daily life. When I read God's word, I ask the Lord to help it make an impact on every moment of every day of my life. I believe that God's word has that ability. It has that power. And I pray that as we open up these subjects this morning, that God will be able to open up our hearts and speak life-giving words into them. If you missed last week's message, no problem. You can catch up with that on podcast. You just go in onto our website, the nation's website, and click podcast, and it will take you to the facility there. Here is our key verse, our key Bible quote for this week, taken from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Words that Jesus said, and this may surprise you, as he talked to the devil. Now, I would not recommend that you have regular conversations with the devil. But on occasions, you may need to address him. And if you want to know how to speak to the devil, I would suggest that you find out how Jesus spoke to him. In this instance, Jesus had been led by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness place to be tempted by Satan. And Satan came to Jesus over a period of 40 days and tempted him. And on one occasion, this is how Jesus responded to him. He said, "It is written." How many of you know that Jesus knew the Old Testament? In fact, he was fulfilling it. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Satan had pointed out some stones to Jesus. Jesus had been fasting. Guess what happens when you fast? You feel hungry. Okay? So if you're thinking about fasting, there's a little bit of a warning. You will feel hungry. And Satan said to Jesus, "If you're God, then you could turn those stones into bread and you could eat those." Jesus said, "It's written." The source of life for man is not just found in bread, but rather it is found out of every word that God speaks. In other words, what is more important than the bread, than the food that we eat? What is more important than the material blessings that we have in our lives? What is the most important thing in this life is what God says. If there is ever a scripture that proves that we need to know how God speaks to us, this would be it. My friends, if you're a Christian today, if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever you are, whether you're here this morning or listening on podcast, the most important thing in your life is not your work. It is not your bank account. It is not even your family. It is what God says to you. And we need to know what God is saying. Amen. And so our first question this morning is, how can we hear God speak? I have been pastoring in churches for as long as some of you are old, and a long time. And there have been many occasions when people have come to me in honestly desperate because they want to hear the voice of God. And they say to me, Pastor, I cannot hear God speak. I'm sure to some degree or other we have in our Christian walk experienced this, where it seems so hard, so difficult, sometimes even almost impossible to hear the voice of God. Perhaps right now we are in a situation in life where we have choices to be made, decisions that have to be faced, and we're seeking God, but we're finding it so hard to hear his voice. My friends, I want you to know this truth this morning. God wants to speak to us. Our last point in our message last week was this: God is a great communicator. God knows how to communicate with us. Right from the very first moment that God created man, he began to speak his will and his purpose to man. Later on this morning, we will read about that. But this is the truth, my friend. God wants you to hear his voice. Very simply, I want to go through just 4 points that I believe will help us to come to that place where we are able to hear God speak. Not just in those crisis moments, not just when we're faced with life-changing decisions that have to be made, but I believe God wants to speak to us as his children every day. How many of you are parents here? Not so many. How many of you are children here? That should be everybody. If you grew up in a healthy home environment, your parents would have communicated with you at least once a day. Even if it was to say, time to get up. Eat your dinner. Do your homework. In our relationship with God, God communicates with us, not just in those crisis moments, not just at Christmas, not just at Easter, not just on your birthday, not just on Sundays. My friend, God wants to talk with you all the time. I know I've mentioned this before, a very famous man from the UK who lived in the late 19th, early 20th century. A great man of God who God used in many miraculous ways. Someone said to him one day, he said, my friend, you must spend hours and hours and hours in prayer. And this man turned back to him and said, I never pray for more than 15 minutes at a time. But I never go without speaking to God for more than 15 minutes. This was a man that God was able to use, I believe, partly because he was in constant communion, fellowship with his Father God. If I was to ask you, put your hand up if you want God to use you, I believe that all of your hands would go up. My friends, I believe that one of the keys, one of the secrets that we see in the life of Jesus was that he was in constant fellowship with his Father in heaven. The first point that I want us to look at is this. One of the keys that will help us to hear God speak is to understand that we have a relationship with God. I've put this on our notes. God is not Google, and God is not a genie in a lamp. Sometimes I think as those who say we are followers of Jesus, this is how we treat God. We go to God when we want to find out something, when we're in a fix, when we have a situation that we cannot solve, we Google God to get an answer. And I say this with great respect, I've done it myself. We use him as a resource. We use him, another term would be this, as like a cosmic Santa Claus. Or a genie that's in a lamp and we want to polish the lamp because we want God to give us three wishes. Come on. But God says he wants to have a relationship. Now, some of us get very close to a relationship with Google, and we need to be a bit careful. But God wants to have a living, vibrant, meaningful relationship with his children. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't read that in my Bible. I don't read a verse that says that God wants me to have a relationship with him. Well, let me ask you this question. If you're a believer this morning, are you also a child of God? Yes? Has he embraced you? Has he adopted you into his family? Yeah? Is it not just normal, common sense, and practical that parents and children regularly communicate? Yes. How? Through a relationship. Parent, child. Now, God is also a God to be feared. An awesome God. Now, you who are from America and Canada know that I often refer to that word, that it's overused. But in terms of God, it applies. He is awesome. We stand in awe of him. But at the same time, in some miraculous way, he is also our Papa. He is Abba, Father. And he desperately wants to communicate with us. Jesus was just a young boy. His parents had taken him up to the temple. Mum had thought that dad was looking after him. Dad thought that mum was looking after Jesus. They started to go home and neither of them had Jesus with them. Not a good parenting example. But Jesus, where was he? He was in the streets playing cards. No, he wasn't. He was in the local amusement arcade. No, he wasn't. He was in the internet cafe playing internet games. No, he wasn't. Guess where he was? In his father's house. That's where he was when they found him. If you're a parent this morning, make sure your children know and love the house of God. They love church. They love the community of God, God's people. Build that into your children's life. How do I do that? You have to love it first. Yeah? Sometimes you look at your children and you think, where did you get that from? Why are you like that? And God says, because you are. Sow into your children's life. Cause them, encourage them, speak to them to come to love the church. You say, well, I've gone through a bad experience about church in my life. And I'm not sure if it's the best for my children. Then get healed. I'm serious. Don't wallow in this place of self-pity saying, I got treated so badly. They didn't love me. I didn't fit in. Get over it in Jesus' name. I'm serious. I know people who have been in that place for 30, 40 years. And they are, excuse me, miserable people. Seriously, they are miserable. They are not a blessing to be with. They are not encouraging. They don't inspire you with life and vision and purpose of God. You don't want to be people like that. Now, you're in a place here in the nations where if that's been your experience, God will bring you freedom and strength and give you new purpose. Amen. But Jesus was in the temple, and he said to his parents, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? You see, even Jesus maintained that relationship with his Father. Although he was man, he still maintained that relationship with Father God. When he was facing death and crucifixion, he was in a garden called Gethsemane. And he spoke not to God, but he says, "My Father, if there's some other way." My friends, the reason that Jesus was able to do the things he did was partly because he had such a close relationship with his Father. And I want to encourage you to develop that. Speak to God and listen to God. Point number two, consistently listen for his voice. How? Read his word. Read the Bible. Read it every day. Live off it. Let it form its truth on the inside of you. Let it become that living word. Have fellowship with God through prayer. Let me go back to the Bible. This is God speaking to us. Yeah? Now, us guys, come on. We need to learn this. I'm talking to the guys now. We go into a store. We buy a piece of electrical equipment. We race home as quickly as we can. We rip the box open. And we come across what, first of all? The instruction manual. Where does that go? In the trash. Exactly. Yeah, most of us guys are exactly the same. We don't bother to read the instructions. We think we know it all. And so we try to get this piece of equipment working, and it doesn't. And then we get cross, we get angry with it, useless. We start to curse this piece of equipment. And our wives are sitting there quietly saying, "You should read the instructions." And we ignore them. And we get so angry we have to go out and cool down and have a breather. We come back, and our wife has read the instructions and got the machine working. True? Yeah. Come on, guys. We need to read the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. I've been running a focus group. I'm not doing it this term just because I have so much else on my plate. And it's specifically for men. Men designed by God. God wants to speak to us men. Come on. He wants to speak into our lives and our hearts so that we can become the men that God has created us to be. Same applies to women as well. This is God speaking to us. How can we hear his voice if we never, ever open this book? You say, "I haven't got the Bible, Pastor." Then we'll give you one. Serious. If you say, "It's too heavy for me to carry around," then I'll show you how to put an application on your smartphone. YouVersion. If you haven't got one, YouVersion. Our new website will have a link to that. YouVersion, okay? Read the Word of God. Let God speak to you through his Word. Take some time to pray. But you know, prayer must be at least as much time listening as talking. And listening doesn't mean snoozing, sleeping. It means listening, letting God speak into your heart. Do you know what God sounds like? Do you know what God sounds like? It's not a trick question. Who would like to know what God sounds like? Okay, I want all of you to say, when I count to three, say hello. Ready? One, two, three. Hello. That's God. The Bible says that God communicates by his Spirit into our spirit. And you will hear the voice of God speak just the same as you. God doesn't speak in Shakespearean English, by the way, unless you speak Shakespearean English. He speaks to you in your language. God speaks Korean. God speaks French. God speaks all the languages. He speaks into your heart, and you will hear him in your mind, in your spirit, as God communes with you. But we must listen to you. First to God. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says this. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Have you ever watched a baby feed? Yeah, they don't have many manners, do they? They don't worry about who's watching or about making a mess. They just latch on because they're hungry. That's how we need to be with God's word. Latch on to it. Desire it like the pure milk of God's word. So first, relationship. Second, take time to listen every day. Third, go to the right source. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Sometimes I think we read too many Christian books. Now, that's a crazy statement, isn't it? No, it's not a crazy statement. Yeah, he just doesn't read very much at all. He's okay, he's a professor, so he's allowed to. I'm serious. Sometimes we go to authors other than the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit does not inspire people to write today, but don't read books instead of the Bible. Go to the source. Mostly the books that we read are translations or interpretations of God's word. And they're great. Many of them are fantastic. I read books, Christian books, by the way. I read them, but not more than or instead of this, as well as to supplement. If God speaks to me from here about a subject that I want to research, then I'll look at reading some other books. But go to the source. Don't go to people's opinion. Guess what? They could be wrong. And then you have to make a judgment. Go to God. Of course, fellowship with one another. Say, what do you think about this? I was reading that. Can we pray and talk about these things? Absolutely. But let the word of God be your source. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Not the voice that comes from other people. Not the most popular, the trendiest, the fashionable voice. We can get so persuaded and drawn away from the voice of God. How many of you know that there are lots of voices that speak to us? Yeah? You're driving down the road and somebody cuts you up and you have a voice in your head. It's not always the best voice to listen to. Yeah? Something goes wrong at work and your boss treats you bad. You have a voice that comes into your mind that you maybe want to do something bad to them. That's not God's voice. To know how to respond, you have to have God's word in your heart. Do you understand that? Yeah. Very simple points today. But I believe that God wants to take us back to some of these things that perhaps we so easily forget. Go to the right source. The last point on this one, obey what he says. Obey what he says. Jesus said these words in John chapter 5, verse 30. "I can do nothing of myself." Jesus said that. Jesus needed to know what God was saying to him. He says, "As I hear God, my Father, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." Obey what God has said. So many times people have come and asked this question, how can I hear what God wants me to do? I ask him, but he is silent. It's like he doesn't want to speak to me. Usually my first question is this: what is the last thing that God asks you to do? Usually the people don't have to think for very long, because the Holy Spirit will keep reminding us. And they will say, "Well, God asked me to do this." And I will say, "Did you do it?" And usually they say, "No." I said, obey what God has told you to do. Open up the floodgates of God's communication. Remember, we said last week that God's word is final. There is a finality about it. Please don't think that you can go to God to get him to change his mind. If God has asked you to go and do something, it's no good going to God and saying, "Is there a plan B? God, that's so difficult. You don't know how difficult it is." Really? Can I persuade you to give me some other instruction? God's going to say, "What I've said, I've said. That is my best for you." If God's asked you to go forgive somebody, bless somebody, show kindness, speak to somebody about himself, he means it. He means it. So do it. Obey what God says. You know, the opposite to obeying God is just so simply sin. And Isaiah tells us that sin separates us from God. And as long as that is in our hearts and our relationship with God, God will always refer to what he most recently said and we didn't do. I want to encourage you to obey God. Obey God. Every time God speaks to you, obey him. "But I don't understand it." Obey God. Trust. Trust and obey. I love that song we sang the other week. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, "Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths." So four things. Remember your relationship. Take time to listen. Listen to what God has said. Constantly go to the right source. And always obey what God says. So what will God say to you? It will depend what you're talking to him about. It will depend what that conversation you're having with him relates to. But I want to go back right to the beginning of time, to the beginning of creation, and in a very short space of time, lay some foundational truths that will help us to understand what God will speak to us about. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. God, we're told, created man in his own image. And it says here that God blessed them and God said to them, God is speaking to his creation, Adam and Eve. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." That's the fun bit. "Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." These are the first words that God spoke to man. Read your Bible. "Be fruitful, multiply." He commanded the animals to do exactly the same thing. That's why rabbits reproduce like rabbits do and cows like cows, etc. So that wasn't anything new. But what he didn't say to animals was this: fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every other creature. Have you ever stopped to wonder why God said that? The answer is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, where it starts to talk about Satan coming in the form of what? A serpent or a snake. And the intent of Satan was to draw Adam and Eve out of relationship with God by getting them to disobey what God had said. God said to man, "Subdue the earth and have what over every creature?" Dominion. That means rule over it. That means you tell them what to do. They do not tell you what to do. But somehow, Adam and Eve, or Eve did, had this conversation with a snake. And she didn't have dominion over that creature. Satan comes in all sorts of forms, all sorts of disguises. The Bible says sometimes as an angel of light, what appears to be good is actually evil. And in this, Satan came in the form of a serpent and tempted Eve and tempted Adam to disobey God when God had already commanded them to have dominion over all other creatures. What is God saying? God is saying effectively, look only to me and don't get distracted by the world. The world is an amazing place, isn't it? With some incredible creations. I look at some of the animals like the giraffe and I think, why, God? Why? And in the summertime, I get bitten by the mosquitoes and I think, why, God? Definitely why? It's an amazing place. But sometimes we can get so taken up by the world that we lose sight of God. The world can come into our hearts. And actually, the Bible tells us in the epistles of John that those who love God should have nothing to do with this world. It should have no part of us. But how often, as even the followers of Jesus, do we get drawn by the things of this world, by relationships? I'm not just talking male-female, boyfriend-girlfriend, husband-wife, but any relationships. We want that acceptance. We want that approval. We want that warm, glowy feeling when people around us like us. And sometimes we can even be caught up in relationships that are dangerous for us. Some months ago, we did a sermon series on this. It'd be good for you to listen to that again. Sometimes our career, sometimes finances, money, wealth, sometimes travel. We want to see the world while we're still young. Why not change the world for God instead of just having a desire to see it? Can you catch my drift on this? God said to man, have dominion over the whole of creation. Don't get taken up by it. This is what God will speak to you. God, the Bible says, is a jealous God. He says in his word that we are to love the Lord our God and him only. My friends, God will speak to you so that you know that he wants first place in your life. God's not content with second, third, fourth. God insists on first. My friends, God has given us his best. I say, let us give him our best. The second thing I believe that God will speak to us is that he will say, here is my perfect provision for your life. Be satisfied with it. The Bible says that the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to look after it. And he commanded them, saying, of every tree of the garden you can have whatever you like, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Isn't it true that humankind becomes so unsatisfied? We think we have everything. We discover that someone has something that we do not. We become dissatisfied. Whatever we seem to have is not enough. God says, here is my perfect provision. Be satisfied with it. What is God's perfect provision for humanity? It's his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I want to ask you a question. What is it in your life that you gain satisfaction from? Is it God? Is it your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Or do you have this pursuit of other things? Adam and Eve, it seems, had a pursuit beyond God. It seemed that God was not enough. They were tempted to eat of this tree, and they spiritually died. And this is what will happen when our pursuits become for other things in life. When things of this world seem to satisfy us more than God himself. And when God speaks to you, my friend, God will speak to you of himself, of his Son, of his provision. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that in Christ we are complete. That there is nothing that we have need of outside of our relationship with God. And as you commune with God, as you speak to him and he speaks to you, my friend, God will constantly reveal who he is to you, and that in him he is enough. We sang it this morning, didn't we? You're more than enough. You are more than enough. I want you to ask yourself this question: is God enough for me? Third thing that God will speak to us is this. You know, when we find that we're searching for other things in our life, just like Adam did. Adam went after this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what was God's response? It says here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you? Where are you?" I want to say this with love and with respect to everybody here this morning and to everybody listening on podcast. I believe God is speaking this to some of you. You've wandered, you've ran, you've gone away from God. You've pursued other things in this life. Your career, travel, fun, excitement, relationships. And God is coming to you this morning and saying, "Where are you?" And you may think, well, God knows everything. He knows where I am. God knew where Adam was. But what God wanted to do was to reveal his heart to man. You see, even when we go away from God, God wants to draw us back to himself. Even when we pursue other things, God calls by his Holy Spirit, "My child, where are you? Where are you?" We should be in intimate relationship as father and child. You have my Holy Spirit living in you. I want to speak to you every day. My child, where are you? And God is not coming to scold us, to punish us, because he's already punished Jesus. He's not coming to condemn us. You may feel convicted. God is coming because he wants to draw us back to himself. Why? Because he knows that's the best place. That's the place we should be. That's where God wanted to be with Adam and Eve, in that intimate place of fellowship and relationship. Where are you? Where are you? It's possible that you're listening to this message this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's voice says exactly the same to you. Where are you? Where are you? I've given Jesus so that you can be part of my family. This is where you need to be. This is where you should be. This is where I've created you to be. Where are you? And whenever we in our lives drift away from God, and I've heard this many times, "John, where are you?" Never a voice of anger, never a voice that makes me feel crushed and insignificant and foolish, but that loving, loving cry of a father. Where are you? And this is what God will speak to us, because he wants us to be close to him. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to be able to hear his voice speaking into our hearts. God wants us to know that he loves us just as we are, but he also loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He wants to lead us closer into him, deeper into relationship with him, more and more into fulfilling his purposes that he has called us to. So he'll say, "Where are you?" Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning that you speak to us. You have spoken to us ever since you created man, and you have revealed your will and your purposes to us. You have spoken to us with clarity. Father God, you have given us your word, the Bible. You've preserved it throughout the centuries so that we can know what you're speaking to us. And Father, I pray that we will have this hunger, this desire like babies. As babies desire the milk of their mother, may we have this desire for the truth of your word. Father, we sometimes cry out to you, speak to us, Lord. But truthfully, you always do. And if there are things in our lives that you've spoken to us and we have not obeyed yet, we just stand before you this morning and say we repent of that. And we will do what you've asked us to do. And we thank you that you ever draw us to yourself. You ever speak into our hearts and show us how that we can live in fellowship with you. You reveal to us yourself that it is enough, that you are more than enough for us. And if we should walk away from you, you tenderly and lovingly, but with great strength, come and speak to us and say, "Where are you? Where are you?" Father, may your Holy Spirit right now empower us to respond and say, "God, I'm here. I'm coming back to you." As we're praying together this morning, if you know that you have gone away from God, maybe you've been pursuing things that you've put in place of God, and you hear the voice of God saying to you, "Where are you, my child?" And you're deciding and you're choosing in your heart this morning that you want to come back to him, that you want to align your will with his will, that you want to reconnect with God. You were saved, you've given your life to God, but you've just gone away from him. And this morning, you're hearing his voice, and you say, "I want to reconnect with you, God. I want to pray with you right now." And if that was you, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up quickly so I can see who we're praying with. You're saying, "God, I want to reconnect with you. I know that I've not been close to you. I know that I've been doing my own thing. I hear your voice saying, where are you?" Would you pray with me, John? Just slip your hand up quickly and I'll pray with you. Amen. And put them down again straight away. Amen. Anybody else? Father God says, "Where are you? Where are you?" If you put your hand up, amen. If you put your hand up just now, let me pray with you. And you pray these words, words like them in your heart. Say, "Father God, I'm so sorry that I've walked away from you. I thank you that you speak to me this morning and you ask me where I am. You come after me. You come to find me. And Father, I'm saying, here I am. And I choose to do your will. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I thank you that you fill me with your Holy Spirit right now." Just before we finish praying, I want to ask if there's anybody here this morning who has never given their life to Jesus. And you say, "Pastor, I want to do that right now. I want to take that first step in acknowledging God as my Heavenly Father. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior, forgiving my sins. If you want me to pray with you in that way this morning, again, quickly just raise your hand so that I can see who I'm praying with. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to take that first step towards Him. I don't know Him as my Heavenly Father. And I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. If you'd like to pray that with me this morning, just raise your hand quickly and we'll pray together. We're going to give our lives to the Lord Jesus this morning. We're going to take that first step in getting to know God as our Father. If you want to pray that prayer with me this morning, just pray these words in your heart. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me Jesus Christ and that He died. Thank you for communicating your love to me. Thank you for forgiving my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I become your child. And you're my Father, and I praise you as I receive now the gift of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Very quickly, if you prayed that prayer, I want to ask you to do three things. I want you to tell somebody before you leave this morning. Just simply find someone and say, hey, I prayed and gave my life to Jesus this morning. Number two, I want to encourage you to read your Bible and to speak to God in prayer and listen to Him every day. Number three, be sure to get connected to a church where you can find and experience and enjoy the life of God. This is a good one. If you live local, you're able to come here. We'd love to embrace you. If you have one that's more local to you, then connect in with that. But be sure to plug in with a local church. Praise God.